Welcome to Module 1, Lesson 1. Now, before we get to the good stuff, reinforcement, token economies, replacement behaviors, all that good stuff that I know you're excited about, let's first talk about how we can use our language to convey belief in our kids. So some of your students might be coming to you with baggage, and I mean like bags and bags of baggage. They maybe have been told for years, either directly or indirectly, that they're not doing the right thing, that they're being naughty, that they're not listening, that they're making bad choices. And your child, your student, might really believe that about himself. And we want to shift that narrative. We want to show our learners that we believe in them. We believe they can learn new behaviors, that they can make positive choices, that they can make this real positive behavior change happen. And that starts with how we talk to our students and about our students. We want to change the narrative in their head, and we want to change the narrative about that student within the entire school community. So let's talk about how we can use the language that comes out of your mouth to shift that whole message. Focusing on being specific with the language you use with your learner can help convey belief in them, that you have high expectations and that you are there with them to help them achieve those high expectations. So let's chat about some different ways you can do this. One, you can utilize direct language. You can really focus the conversation on the positive over the negative, and then I'm going to tell you my common four to make sure to avoid. So direct language. When you talk with your student or with your child, you want to be specific and clear. You want to use clear language that's free of sarcasm. Yes, I find your sarcasm hilarious. You are so funny, but save it for happy hour with your coworkers. Our kids don't understand sarcasm. Avoid giving directions in the form of a question. If it's not a question, don't make it one. They don't have a choice whether or not they're getting on the bus, so don't say, "Hey, Johnny, do you want to go get on the bus?" Because then when Johnny's like, "Nope," what do you say? You're like, too bad, you are anyways. So you want to give your directions that are really clear. Let's talk about your nonverbal language. Your nonverbal language should communicate calmness and respect. Our kids model what they see. And if you are acting like a crazy hot mess, that might be reflected in what they're modeling. So you want to be calm. You want your nonverbal language to look like what you would want them to do. All of this, this direct language, this, you know, focused nonverbal language of respect and calmness, this helps avoid the power struggle. And we want to avoid the power struggle before we ever get there. Because who wins the power struggle? Either no one or, let's be real, the kid. So let's just avoid the power struggle before it starts. Keep your conversation on the positive over the negative. Tell your child what you want them to see, not what you don't want them to see. That requires a skill of inference making that some of our kids just don't have yet. You might say, "Hey, Johnny, don't run in the hallway." And he's like, "Cool." She said, "Don't run." She didn't say, "Don't hot dog roll." So I'm going to go ahead and hot dog roll myself down this hallway. He's not able to yet make that inference that "don't run" means I should walk. So make your directions really clear and concrete and focus on what you want to see, not what you don't want to see. Really, it's about changing the narrative. So there might be a narrative in the school about your student or learner. It's just human nature to remember the bad stuff over the good stuff. People remember seeing the meltdown in the hallway or the kids sprinting half naked down the stairwell instead of all the good stuff that might be happening. It's up to you as the educator, the clinician, the administrator, or a parent to change that narrative about your child within the community. This is big. This is a big time thing to take on because a lot of our learners might have limited opportunities for inclusion, and changing the narrative can help accomplish that. So you've probably heard me say this before if you follow me, but you are your classroom's publicist and you've got to spread some good PR. You can do that by switching negative words that carry a negative connotation and might have some unintended meanings to positive words. And people always laugh kind of when I share this, but I think this makes a real impact. If the gym coach comes to you after class and is like, "Oh man, your class is really hyperactive," you're like, "Yep, coach, they're very energetic." And if someone's like, "Wow, that class is really loud," you're like, "Yep, they're enthusiastic." So shift that narrative. Put the positive spin on what someone is labeling as something that is negative. So if you like this idea, I have a handout with this video. I think this is an awesome handout to give to your school community, to give to specials teachers, clinicians, to just really help shift the narrative about your kids. So instead of saying this, let's say that. So this kind of incorporates a lot of what we've been talking about, focusing on the positive over the negative and shifting that conversation. Now, some common things to avoid, and these are not like hard, fast rules that you could never do these, but things that you want to be aware of within the language you use about your learners. The first one is the why question, and where we sometimes get focused on doing this, and I don't even know why. After a negative behavior, we incessantly ask the child, why did you do this? Why did you engage in this behavior? Why did you make this choice? And guys, sometimes our kids don't know why. Kids don't sprint out of a classroom going, this is an attention-seeking behavior. That's our job to figure out. And the focus on getting them to tell us might just cause frustration on both ends. We want to avoid the overuse of the word you. Especially for our kids maybe that have that EBD or BD diagnosis, that can feel very accusatory. You need to do this. You need to sit down. You need to make better choices. That can feel heavy. Instead, you know, these are the choices we all want to make. I like how everyone's lining up. This is the expectation at this time. Another thing to avoid is the words no and don't in isolation. If you're telling a child what you don't want them to do, the next sentence out of your mouth should be what you do want them to do. Once in a blue moon, I see a behavior plan that says, never tell this child no. And I don't know about you, but the masochist in me wants to go right up to that kid and be like, no. Because in real life, people tell you no. I get that. I get that that can be a trigger for kids, but we want to teach accepting of no. If you're telling a child what you don't want them to do, you have to give it within the context of what they can do instead. And the last one, lectures and nagging. In this course, we're going to talk a lot about the difference between reacting and responding. Reacting is based off emotion. It's in the moment, whereas a response is planned. Lectures and nagging are really in that reaction category. It might make us feel better in the moment, but actually, it might be making the behavior become worse. So this first step in behavior change isn't a super technical one, but it's one that can make a big impact. Work on the language that you and your team utilize about your learner and to your learner. This can really set the stage and lay that foundation for positive behavior change. When you show your child that you believe in them and that you have high expectations for what they can achieve, they will start to believe that too.